I think that human beings, you and I, are possibly above all else, creatures who feel emotions deeply. And some feelings that we have are amazing. Things like love, happiness, joy, contentment, peace, hope, security. You know, we would be quite happy with life if these were the things that we felt 100% of the time. Unfortunately, we do have feelings and emotions that we don't like to feel, but they come at us anyways. Things like anger, loneliness, sadness, grief, pain, helplessness. And let's be honest, nobody gets through life without experiencing those feelings at least once or twice. Now, we're going to be talking over the next three Sundays a bit about the feeling of despair. And despair is one of those feelings that fits in with the emotions that we don't like to feel. And I guess that despair is connected with a sense of helplessness. Times when we are faced with problems or obstacles that we think are too big to overcome or to get by, or problems in life that we feel we don't have the resources or the ability to make it through. And the three things that we will be looking at over the next couple weeks are connected with three specific feelings. The first one, hunger. The second one, that sinking, drowning feeling that we sometimes feel when we're overwhelmed. And the last one, sickness, illness, that need for healing. And this sermon series is called Desperate Times, because after all, desperate times do call for desperate measures. And this morning's story happens, as Sandy pointed out, after Jesus and his disciples have learned about the death of John the Baptist. And shocked and saddened and grieved at the death of their master, teacher, and friend, and Jesus' cousin, if you remember correctly. So there's some family grief going on there. They want to retreat. They want to get away. They want to spend some time to grieve. Unfortunately, as they are making their way out, the crowd, almost fell out of the pulpit there. One day I'll learn maybe to stand still up here. That's never happened before. Anyways, as the disciples are making their way out into the wilderness, it's the crowds hear that they're leaving. And so what do the crowds do? They follow them. They head on out into the desert with them. And Jesus sees them following him. And as he gets to the lakeside, he turns and he does what Jesus does. He starts teaching. He's healing their sick. And he's out there for a while, and evening begins to come. And the disciples, who are itching to get on their way, they want to send the crowds away. But the people are hungry. But the people are hungry. Now, why did the crowds follow Jesus out into the wilderness? We're going to pause here and just tackle this for a moment. You know that the great teacher's trying to sneak away. Why do they follow him out into the wilderness? And I think that they follow Jesus because those that have followed him out there would have had some kind of affinity with John the Baptist. Remember that Jesus began his ministry by taking up John the Baptist's cry, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And the people would have wanted to know what Jesus had to say about John's death. And they would have wanted to know what they were supposed to do. John's now gone, and Jesus is the one who seems to have assumed the ministry and the torch of John the Baptist. They're looking to Jesus. But of course, people have hunger, and they hunger in different ways. We have physical hungers and spiritual hungers. We hunger to be loved. We hunger to have those significant relationships that let us know that we are accepted and received and okay, and that no matter what happens, we know that there are people we can depend on and that they can depend on us. We hunger to have enough to satisfy ourselves and maybe even have a little more so that we can enjoy life to the fullest. We have a hunger for wealth. You know, we hunger to be secure in life, where we don't have to worry about anything. We hunger for passion. That all-consuming feeling that that we are a part of something important and significant. We hunger for affection. Not just the sense of we have a lot of people we know, but the shared affection of deep liking. We hunger for that. And we hunger for significance, that sense that we matter, that we're not just an overlooked part of this world. We want to be significant. And these hungers represent the spiritual side of hunger, the parts of us that technically, if we don't get those things, we can still live, but are we really living? And the crowd, I'm sure, had all of those hungers as they came to hear Jesus, as they went to hear what he had to say. But the crowd also has physical hungers. They have sick among them that are in need of healing, and they know that Jesus is the healer. The crowd is literally getting hungry. It's dinner time, and they're in need of food, and they're in a place where there's no McDonald's or Denny's nearby. They have physical hungers. And these are the things that have driven them out into the wilderness to come before Jesus, to see what he had to say, to see what he had for them. And I'm sure that it's a bunch of mixed emotions, like anyone who begins to consider Jesus. But I think it's safe to say that the people were looking for leadership and direction. They were looking to Jesus for comfort and for healing. And they were looking for hope in the face of a dream that is dying. And again, at this late hour in the day, the disciples want Jesus to send the crowds away. But Jesus doesn't send them away. Instead, what does he do? He turns and he looks at his disciples and he says, "No. In fact, you give them something to eat." And I'm sure the disciples turned and looked over the crowd, all scattered up on the shoreline, and looked at one another and said, "Yeah, right. Sure thing, Jesus. We'll get on that right away." And they look at one another and they respond to Jesus by saying, "Jesus, we have nothing. We have nothing. Well, except for these 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But we have nothing." I want us to pause here for a moment and think about this. Because here, the disciples are given a task by Jesus. Their teacher whom they have been following, their teacher whom they have given their lives over to, and they have been given a task by Jesus. And it's a task that seems to be impossible. And they look at the problem, and they look at what they have, and they see themselves as being resource poor. They see themselves as being unable to do what Jesus has asked of them. They only have enough for themselves. They only have enough for me. They only have enough for the small us. How in the world could they possibly feed the crowds? But they forgot something. They forgot that they had Jesus. And in this story, it's kind of comical. You can almost imagine Jesus saying, "Oy vey. You guys have been on mission. You've done all these amazing things. How quickly you forget. Come here, bring me those fish and loaves. I guess I'm going to have to do it again." And Jesus takes those fish and loaves, and he gives thanks and blesses them. And he hands them out, and what ends up happening is somehow, some way, everybody gets fed. And that day, Jesus performed a miracle. But it's the disciples who were charged with carrying out the multiplied bread and fish to the crowds. Jesus fed the 12, and the 12 fed the 5,000. And I think in many ways that Jesus is looking at the disciples and telling them, you need to dream bigger. In asking them to feed the crowds, he has challenged them to change their ideas about their own power in the world. For disciples who think that they have nothing, the possibilities are necessarily small. But for the disciple who believes that they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them, the possibilities are almost limitless. Now, this miracle appears in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke and John, in all four Gospels, and it's the only one of Jesus' miracles that shows up in all four Gospels. And biblical scholars think that that the reason why is because this story, this miracle account, is an opportunity to teach about the nature of the church, about the role of being a disciple, and giving insight into the nature of God. God is one who provides. God is not one who pushes people away. God is someone who asks his disciples to do things that seem impossible. And it's the role of us as disciples to trust that God's got our back, to trust that God's not going to let us fail, and to actually do the physical part, the serving, the handing out of the promises that God has put forth in the world. And that's the role of the church. It's our role as disciples. And if we stop and think about it, there are people who seek after Jesus, like ourselves. And people seek after Jesus because they have a spiritual hunger within them. There is something that they realize is missing in their lives, and it hasn't been met by their education. It hasn't been met by their job. It hasn't been met by the success that they've encountered. It may not even be satisfied by the families that they have. There is a spiritual hunger inside of them. And they hunger for inner peace. Sense that they are not alone. That they have not been abandoned to some random universal process that eventually ends up in nothingness. People hunger for hope that the things that they encounter will one day have an end. And that hope that the problems and struggles of life will not overwhelm them. And they hunger for healing. I mean, when you're not right, you know it. When things aren't adding up and you're not sure how to work and you look at your life and you realize, you know, I've got my own hand in a lot of these things. Often there's healing that's needed. And people get sick. People have physical needs and they're looking for some way that there might be healing. And people are hungry to be loved. People hunger for something more in life. They hunger to belong. And you see, as we approach this biblical study, this story here today, this account, there are two places that we can place ourselves in it. We're either one of the hungry in the crowd who have followed Jesus out into the wilderness, followed him because we have needs, followed him because we have a hunger inside us that we know that only Jesus can meet. And if you are someone who sees yourself in the crowd, Jesus does not push you away. Jesus does not send anybody away. The scriptures tell us that Jesus had compassion, and he's taught, and he healed their sick. And that is the Jesus that we proclaim. But on the other side, there are Jesus' disciples. And as we find so often, the disciples, well, let's just say that they don't always come off the best in the stories in the scriptures. The good news is that Jesus sticks with them. Jesus doesn't send them away either. And in the end, they come through. But if we see ourselves as the disciples, those that are around Jesus, who are looking out and feeling overwhelmed at the need that is around us, the needs that we want to help meet, but aren't sure how we're going to. If that's us, the questions that go out are, how are we feeding the crowds? How are we feeding those who follow Jesus? And what are we feeding them with? If we're in a convicted mode, it's in what ways have we been given blessed nourishment and failed to pass it along to people in need? But what I want you to hear is that we are not powerless. We may not be able to meet every need, but in stepping out and trying, there is a way in which churches work together and which needs are met. I know that you don't always hear of everything that happens. We do have the pastor's fund, and you are very faithful at putting money in that account. And that money goes to help people in need. And we have helped put food on families' tables. We have helped people hold on to their homes. We've kept the gas on in people's homes. We've helped get people into homes. We work together with churches around our area, putting food in people's stomachs. Through Lutheran Social Services, we do work at helping people make it through hard times. The Westminster Free Clinic that meets here helps address physical needs. We do a lot. And I hope that we would not be a church that sends the crowds away, but rather that we look at the challenges that Christ has set before us and that we see ourselves as being powerful, that we see ourselves as having the ability to do something significant in the name of Jesus Christ in this world. That's the purpose of the church. That's our purpose. And today, if you're one of the crowd and you're considering what it takes to follow Jesus, I pray that you'll keep following. Pray that you'll keep coming. And I pray that there will be a day that you see yourselves as being one of those around Jesus, looking at a job that you think is too tough, but knowing that Jesus has your back. Desperate times call for desperate measures. The intense prayer and the risk of stepping out and having the faith that Jesus is behind you has enabled Christians in the church to do amazing things through the ages. May we be a part of that tradition. Amen.